want to talk about afterwards this morning. Isn't that interesting? You sang a song about that. Afterwards. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Way at the back of the Bible. Going to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we'll begin our reading with verse 6. The conclusion of the reading, I'm going to ask Brother Cy, if he will, to ask the Lord to help us this morning. Here we go. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastening, whereof are the partakers? Are ye bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exit thereby. Let's talk about afterward. Sign.
Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is for us to assemble together in your house this morning, Lord, to worship you, words and song. Lord, to thank you for the beautiful music we have heard,
and
glorious singing. Lord, we just ask that the Holy Spirit to be with us this morning, fill our hearts, and give us insight and understanding to the message we're about to receive. Be with Brother Ruby that he give him, Lord, the right words and strength and determination to bring this message to us. We ask it in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Verse 11, afterwards. The treatment of Jesus Christ when he came to seek and save the lost. He was the very Son of God. He was ridiculed, rejected, persecuted, ignored, charged by the religious leaders as being an agent of Satan and a troublemaker. Jesus Christ was accused of sedition against the Roman Empire. He was arrested. He was found guilty. He was crucified. Jesus warned his followers that they would be hated by a lost and condemned world, but to always remember this. Listen now. This is what Jesus said. They hated me first. Amen? If you are a Christian living under the conditions that this world is in today and that this country is suffering under, remember, they hated Jesus first. Don't ever Forget that. Jesus warned his followers that they would be hated. The creator of the universe, who claimed the planet Earth to save lost men and women and boys and girls, was hated first. Long, long before we Christians in America face the trivial problems, amen? Amen. Trivial compared to what Christ went through. Absolutely. The trivial problems of today. Nails were driven through our Savior's hands and feet. Verse 11 of the Hebrews text says it all. Nevertheless, afterward. After the ridicule, after the rejection, after the persecution, after the blasphemy and false charges, after the beating, burial, the victory of the first Easter, and the eternal salvation of every believer in Jesus Christ as God and Savior took place. Amen? Afterwards. The news of today in our nation is disheartening. Morals are declining, evil is triumphing, and the once vibrant church seems sadly too often to be either sleeping or silent. This is not a new phenomenon. The opening verses of James' epistles to the early church informs us of something we need to hear again. Book of James. Chapter 1. Read the verses 1 through 4. James, excuse me, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye shall fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you're a Christian and you're here this morning, you are wanting nothing, my friends. If you're a Christian, it doesn't matter what the world does out there. Or if they come in here and do something to us, it doesn't make any difference. Right. You say, well, no, I'm doing a lot to get shot. Well, yes, you are. If you ever agree, what's going to happen? What's going to happen after you get shot? What's going to happen? Yeah. Do we believe this stuff we're saying? I wonder. I really do sometimes, folks. The news of the day in our nation is certainly disheartening, and morals are decaying, and evil is triumphing in many ways. This is not, however, a new phenomenon. The opening verses of James' epistle to the early church inform us of that truth. The ignorance of the words of this holy book. The people in the church pews today, how many are in this book every day, every week? It makes a big difference in your attitude toward what's going on today if you're in this book. Are you a Christian, sister? Oh, I was born in a family that goes to church. Are you a Christian, brother? Oh, my father's a preacher. Are you a Christian, my friend? Have you been born of the Spirit of God and confessed your sins and become a new creature, a new creation? Oh, well, that's old time stuff. Okay. The utterance of the words of the Bible is a sign of our times. Patience is what is required as true believers see and realize that no matter what is going on in this world, we are perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We may not understand a lot of what's going on around us. Amen. No matter what, and one day, whether dead or alive, our Easter is waiting. It's waiting for us, just as God promises it will. Confusion and chaos everywhere. Now I want you to listen to Jesus Christ. Forget the preacher. Forget the pastor. Forget the books. So many books. And listen to Jesus Christ this morning. I'm going to read a long passage. I want you to listen. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show them the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall come against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It's all going to happen. Don't be surprised when it happens. I'm telling you, Jesus said, before I come, it's going to be like this. Amen? Amen? That's what he says. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated in all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many, many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Maybe we need to read it more. Listen now. I just think we need to hear these things. Because when you open your paper this morning, there's going to be something in there. When you listen to the news this evening, there's going to be something on television. You say, well, it may be another 1,000 years. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm wondering if you know what's going to happen to you afterward. That's my concern. Are you knowing where you're going afterward? We need to quit playing church, folks. We need to get serious. Jesus goes on. Let him which is on the housetop not come down, neither let him which is in the field turn back. Woe unto them with child, but pray ye that your flight be not in winter or on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not seen since the beginning of the world up until this time, nor ever will be. I think the flood was pretty bad. What do you think? I wasn't crazy about World War II or Korea, were you? Hello? Or the earthquakes that they've suffered over in the belt that goes around the Pacific Ocean? You say, well, are you saying that that's imminent about the return? I'm not saying that. I'm saying, are you ready afterward? Were the people in the building back in 9/11 when those planes hit, were they ready for afterward? I hope so. I'm sure some were. Oh, yes, yeah, some Christians went down with those buildings. Of course. But they were ready. I think that the ignorance of the Word of God. And I think that the easy believism of our day is going to shortchange a lot of people afterwards. Beloved, this message may appear to be discouraging, disheartening, but it certainly isn't the meaning of it. It's the Christian's call to action and eternal hope that James was talking about. We are to be, as James writes, patient. Amen? We are to be patient. Jesus Christ is coming, be it 4 or 5 or 6 years from now, which the way things are going, who knows? Or 1,000 years from now. That's not our concern. Our concern is to be ready. We are to be found perfect, entire, a body. This body, that body of believers. That family, ready, prepared. Amen? Does this make sense? The writer of Hebrews tells us what is going to happen is not joyous. But it's grievous. It's so needless. It's so ridiculous. The great hymn writer, Charles A. Tingley, understood what I'm trying to say. And he wrote these words, and I want to read them to you. You say, well, you didn't do a lot of preparation, you just read a bunch of stuff. Okay. Here's what Tingley wrote back in 1905, before even the First World War. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. After. Oft our cherished plans have failed. Disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, maybe hard and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, say it, we will understand it better by and by, afterwards. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better afterwards. We will, you and I, understand it better one glorious day if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. And if we aren't, and if we never have made that decision, and I didn't say join the Baptist church, or I didn't say be baptized, or I didn't say have the preacher pray for you. I said if you have not experienced the spiritual birth spoken of by Jesus to Nicodemus in John 3, go home and read John 3.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to be sure everyone within the sound of my voice this morning is ready for afterwards. The great English pastor, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, closed one of his messages with these words for each of us to remember. Oh, my trembling soul, be still. I await thy wise and holy will. I cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, yet all is well when ruled by thee. In the bulletin that you have this morning, there's a message from Spurgeon that he preached to the Baptist Assembly back there 150 years ago in England. Shortly thereafter, they kicked him out of the Baptist Association. All he was doing was warning them to be ready for after. Wait patiently, dear friends, and be prepared.